wake up!
Ladies and gentlemen, we're about to begin boarding.
Well, how'd you sleep last night?
I don't believe that's any of your business.
If you go to a Bansy Fall and you want to have a prance on Hansel, all in fub with you, don't forget to slop your dripper.
Tonight, Linger, what's for breakfast?
Dude, apples, bacon, and biscuits.
Well, forget the apples. Slap some bacon on a biscuit and let's go.
The 0900 Show with Craig Flowers.
Sammy, good morning.
Good morning, Craig.
Have you ever had any experience with hoarders?
I sadly have in my time.
Oh my, we're going to have to break that down a little bit. My garage looks like I'm hoarding. You ready?
Oh yeah, man.
Let's go! Good morning, Texas. Good morning, Texans. And everybody that got here as fast as you could, remember why you came, why you left, and don't mess with Texas. Yes, indeed, there are a lot of states that are great, but as we know, there's only one great state.
It's what's made this the greatest country in America.
That's well said every Saturday morning as a great reminder, save as, that's what's made this the greatest country in America. Jamie Frazier.
Good morning, Carl.
Hey, when is it okay? When is it okay for somebody, at what point in the relationship is it okay for one to just go into one's house and open the other person's refrigerator?
Never.
Now, I do that when I go over to your crib.
And it's wrong, and it hurts me.
After I say hello to Sasha,
I don't care.
I go right into your refrigerator and see what there is to drink.
Everybody.
But we have a relationship. When is it?
I don't know.
Because we've got boyfriends now that have been hanging around the house long enough where I can sense that they're thinking, Sammy, that they got enough equity in the game now that they can go right into the refrigerator. In the house.
You got a donation jar in there?
And these are big old boys. Now, don't get me wrong. We need them in our gene pool. We're a bunch of 5'8" and below folks. So I need some 6'2" jokers in the house. But
costs some money to feed them.
It does. And these guys throw deep.
Yeah.
I mean, if there's a leftover something.
Well, I mean, if they're keepers, yeah, feed them. If not.
They haven't quite gone to the handle yet and opened it up, but I can tell one of them's getting close.
Yeah.
Looking at it, eyeing
that's
it.
Yeah.
That's a commitment. That's a commitment.
I remember even going into Grandma's on 2511 Bitters Road the first time I opened up Grandma's refrigerator without asking. Man, I got a face full of Dad. Not Grandma or Papa, but Dad was like, son, what are you doing? I said, I'm looking for cantaloupe.
I mean, how old were you?
I think I was 10. But I wanted some cantaloupe.
Okay, fair enough.
And Grandma Gretchen, she had great cantaloupe. I mean, the trucks would come by and you could get 10 for like a dollar back then. This is like 1972. It was a good year for cantaloupe. And she had the Tupperware had just come out, so they had this little green bowl. It's kind of an awkward green looking thing. It's like size iced teacup from Duck Dynasty. But it was a bowl, and she had that joker loaded with the sweetest cantaloupe that came right out from South Texas. And I remember when Dad was like, hey, we're not going into Grandma's refrigerator, son. It was one of those old-time refrigerators where you had to want it.
Yeah.
Where you had to, I mean, the handle was sideways, and it had like some sort of hinge on it where it kind of bit back at you. Yeah, I mean, you had to have the weight behind it. I don't, Sammy, you've probably never seen something like that.
No, I haven't. That's completely foreign to me.
when you walk into a hoarder's house,
right?
Because you've got a side job.
It's a side hustle.
And you got to go into some of these houses, and we've all seen the television shows, and I can only take about 10 minutes of that. Then I got to go open up the refrigerator and get some cantaloupe. But when you go into these homes, what do you see in 20 and 19?
I bet she doesn't open up the refrigerator.
No, I would not dare. It's, dude, some of those places are so, so gross. I found a straight-up mummified cat in somebody's house one time. We found definitely some things that we probably are not allowed to talk about on the air, funnily enough. A lot of personal pleasure effects.
Any like old baseball card collections? That's what I'm most interested in.
No, we found a lot of signed memorabilia, weird enough. We found like, I don't even remember what year it was, but we found like a Dallas Cowboys team ball, like signed by a bunch of the team. I really wish I could remember what year it was. Yeah, man, just it's a lot of gross more than it is cool, but we still find cool stuff.
We're not at the hoarder stage yet, but Miss Beth and I, we thought this was going to be the week where we were going to dominate our garage.
I thought you've been on that for a while.
Yeah, I've got a lot of areas that I've started out there.
You got a nice safe out there, though.
But yeah, that safe is
that ain't getting moved.
That's an M1A1 safe. Yeah. Nobody getting in that joker. But we just kept finding things around the house to do. I think we were both avoiding going out there in the garage.
Mm-hmm.
But I do have some more room out there. And I got a plan. I think the first week of April is going to happen because I need some good weather to set everything. You got to pull everything out.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're dealing with hoarders, you got to pull everything out.
Yeah, man. We went into one house one time that was so gross that we had to wear like full out masks, you know, gloves, the whole get up looking like hazmat and whatnot. I still coughed up black for like 3 or 4 days, even wearing the mask. I have no idea what I was breathing in that house, but it was gross.
Oh my God.
Well, that ain't right. Well, I'm sorry you had to do that. Going through, man, it's amazing what you got to do. I had an interesting week in that. We acquired some more throw pillows, which I still can't understand. Even when we went to Fredericksburg, Jamie, and we stayed at that great, you know, during.
Did you steal throw pillows?
No,
from the place?
But so we had 4 rooms in this bed and breakfast, and it was nice in Fredericksburg. We did a staycation. We got the heck away from South by Southwest, and we found this great place, incredible rooms, and there were 2 rooms and 2 suites, and the 2 rooms had 10 throw pillows on each bed. Now, these were quality throw pillows. I mean, all of the bead family was represented, the leather family, the feather family. Everything you'd want in a quality throw pillow was represented in these 10 throw pillows. You go to the suite, which is where Miss Beth was. She wanted to be with our daughter, so you go to the suite. They had 12 throw pillows on their joker. I'm telling you, I don't understand. This place looked great, but I had to go through 10 throw pillows before you got to the pillow that you can actually sleep on. And God forbid you sleep on a throw pillow. Even Miss Beth, if I ever sleep on a throw pillow, I get a face full of her telling me, you know, what are you doing? That's a decorative pillow. There are some countries that would love to have 10 pillows. They'd love to have a mattress. And we got pillows stacked up in the corner. Like it's cordwood.
What's the distinction between a normal pillow versus a throw pillow?
It's a good question. I'm trying to figure that out. And the Horns are trying to figure it out against Arkansas this week as they roll into Fort Worth for this will be game 2 today.
Wow.
Of a 3-game set in the Big 12, and it's going to be a battle. What's interesting is that Texas purchased, and I think this has got to be a little deal between the current AD at TCU.
Athletics.
The current athletics director and the current athletics director here at University of Texas, who was the former athletics director at TCU. I have to believe that they worked out a deal here because the Texas X's, they have the whole first base porch available to them to include picnic tables, et cetera, a big area. And so it's going to be just like this week was. It's going to be an old Southwest Conference-type duel between the Horned Frogs of Fort Worth and the Longhorns of the 40 Acres. And so here we are, not in Fort Worth watching this, but there's got to be, you know, remnants of the Wild Bunch along the first base porch down in TCU right now that's battling the Horned Frogs. And it's you know, look, you know, I know David Pierce. Boy, when you look at when he scheduled this thing for the Longhorns, my gosh, I know he wanted it to be a challenging deal and a high RPI and all of that. And, boy, when things were going well with LSU and You got the first one at Stanford. But man, you talk about going through some pitchers over the last few weeks. And both teams are going to be trying to get into the other opponent's bullpen. And when you know, just watch the pitch count. Do you pay attention to pitch counts?
No, I don't. I've learned more about baseball sitting here with you than I've ever learned about.
Well, it's just fascinating. And I think Greg Swindell and Keith Moreland break it down so great. You can watch, you know, if a leadoff hitter comes out and swings at the first pitch and pops up, and you're the pitcher, that next pitch to that second hitter is got to be a strike because he's going to have the take call. But, I mean, a Texas pitcher the other night, he got out of an inning in five pitches. Well, that's a dream.
Yeah.
And we had a guy in junior college who was recruited only to hit long foul balls because he was never going to – well, he centered one. Then he had to run the bases he never run before. But his job was to get 10 to 12 pitches in an at-bat. That's it. I think he hit in the seventh or eighth hole.
So going to like a full game, what would be a pitch count for a full – if a guy did all nine innings?
We'll break that down. Okay. When we come back from the banks of 360, it's the 0900 show.
You know what I do like about baseball?
What?
Walk-up music.
We never had any dead
walk-up music. They have it. UT has walk-up
music. They have it in Little League now.
They have Little
League. Yeah, eight-year-olds walking up to rap music.
Sammy, what would your walk-up music be?
Ooh, that's a hard question.
Oh, like no, it's not. Come
tie
on.
Tie between Barbie Girl or like bagpipe music.
Bagpipe music.
Oh, yeah.
I like
Colonel, what would you walk up music?
That song that just played was pretty good, but I think I'd have to go with a little George Strait or something like that. This is where the cowboy strikes out or something.
What, AC/DC?
No, none of that. That little song that just came on, I don't know if you ever watched the YouTube on it. It's an incredible. It's Bruce Springsteen. You should look it up. And it's, of course, the song is You Can Never Tell. And he's just riffing and practicing, and he's making it up as they go there. And at the end, he goes, "How about that? We made it up out of nothing." And it's just the greatest. I'll be driving through the hill country on 281, and I'll put that joker on and crank it. And if anybody passes me, they'd think I was a crazy man because I'm just jamming to that. And by the way, let's get an update on I-35. The last time I left it with the Big O, we had it at about a 5.351 on a 10-point scale. I've just driven it recently. It's about a 5.38. That's about all the improvement. And stick with what Bucky and I tell you to do. Take 281. It's less stress in your life. You can enjoy the hill country, especially this time of the year. You can get great jerky along the way and half sweet tea, unsweet, and just enjoy the hill country of the great state of Texas and avoid.
Well, this week hasn't been that bad. South by Southwest out of town.
Thank goodness.
And UT's on spring break.
Yeah. So I mean, you week. And I had a great little dinner at the Grove this week.
Yeah.
Love the Grove.
It's
How
nice.
About them quail, stuffed quail that we
Pizza
had?
Pizza was good.
And we had the charcuterie plate with mixed meat and cheese. Blew through that, Johnny. So speaking of South by Southwest, and we get to this pitch count deal. So our niece and nephew, they live out in California. They came in for South by Southwest. He is a movie maker, and she's going to law school at USC.
Oh, wow.
And so he came in to pitch his movie, which was cool.
Nice.
And stayed with our daughter downtown in her apartment. It was really cool. And they're getting married sometime in January of 2020.
Okay.
It's recently engaged.
Nice.
Big deal. Really kind of cool.
Trip out to California.
Yeah, good couple. And so we're sitting around the house talking about, you know, their wedding plans. And he makes the declaration that they are going to get a wedding planner.
Ugh.
Oh, you talk about lighting a fire under Miss Beth. Oh, my gosh. So now this whole discussion comes up about wedding planners and he being involved. And here's my guidance, Sammy. When you pull the trigger,
Eesh.
Here's the deal. You don't care. You don't care.
That is a fact. You are correct.
You don't care about a napkin. You don't care about a plate, a fork. You don't care about any setting, any kind of appliance. You don't care where we're registered because you just don't care. I promise you do not want to get involved in the pastels, the color, but you're going to get the question because they can't help it. They're going to ask you, do you like this salad plate? Do you like this plate, the one with the gold ring, or do you like this one with the bronze ring? You do not care.
Because either way, you're wrong, right?
Well, you just say, you know, they're both great. I love you, and, you know, whatever gets chosen, that'll be just perfect by me. And you go fishing, or you go record a show, or you go empty out a hoarder's house or something.
Or go talk to a lawyer for a prenup.
But don't get involved in the wedding planning, because I'm guarantee you they're not registering footballs and tackle boxes and fishing poles and smokers and fly rods. They're registering stuff that you cannot. But he wanted to declare that there would be a wedding planner involved, and Miss Beth schooled him up pretty quick and said, "Hey, you're really not going to have a say in it since you're not paying for it." So back to pitch counts. So back in the day, you could go anywhere from 80 to 120 pitches, but now the game has gotten so specialized that you're really trying to get a guy to about the fifth or sixth inning max. And so if you can get out of the inning, in under 15 pitches, under 20 pitches, you're pretty much on target to bring that middle reliever in for, you know, the fifth and sixth inning or sixth and seventh inning and have your closer come in to, you know, handle eight and nine. So it's changed quite a bit now that you got guys that are specializing. But you know, when I coached at West Point, our goal, if we could get an at-bat with 12 pitches, that was a great at-bat. So that's a really good at-bat. And if every once in a while somebody get a 15-pitch at-bat, man, that was a big league deal, because now we're trying to get into that bullpen. And up in the Northeast, they don't have near the talent that we've got down here in the great state or any of these, you know, down in Florida, et cetera. So we're trying to get into the Patriot League's bullpen into Colgate and Lehigh and Bucknell and Navy. We're trying to get in their bullpen as quickly as they can, because normally up there in the Northeast, you've got one or two arms and you got a closer. It's those middle guys that if you can get after. So that pitch count, in my opinion, is really important up there in the Northeast. Plus, they don't get all the reps, because they've still got snow on the ground up at West Point right now. I mean, in 1982, we got 15 inches of snow on April 15th. And we're down there at Target Field, which is on the banks, not on 360, but the banks of the mighty Hudson River. And opening day in Yankee Stadium was like April 17th or something like that. And the Yankees were playing a couple of away games, but the opening at Yankee Stadium was like just right after April 15th. And so we're down there practicing high school baseball. And who shows up after our high school baseball practice? The New York Yankees, the big league club, pulls up in two buses, and they come to practice in the indoor facility at West Point. And, you know, they've got Tommy John on the team, who's the Louisiana Lightning, the pitcher. Rod Guidry's on the team. Goose Gossage, Bobby Mercer. I mean, they've got, you know, all the old school guys on there. And they're looking for a place to play because all the snow is just such a joke. But so the pitch count, though, has really changed. Now with all the specialization.
Have you ever gone down to Arizona, or Florida, watch spring ball?
To Florida, yes.
Yeah, Florida.
Yeah, I spent George Steinbrenner. I've talked about a little of this before. When Mr. Steinbrenner was living, he paid for the Army baseball team to come down and train for 10 days, and he paid soup to nuts for the Army baseball team to practice with the New York Yankees during spring break.
Wow.
And his only stipulation was that we didn't talk about it. He did not want credit for it, which is, I like that.
Yeah.
I mean, you and I come from the world of quiet professionals. Some are more quiet than others. others have radio shows.
And, yeah, but, radio shows, book deals. Yeah, yeah, some of them aren't that quiet.
But he didn't want credit for that, but because he went to a high school that was a military high school. It wasn't West Point, but it was a military high school, and he just thought that, I mean, there are a lot of ways to serve one's country, and that's kind of the way he looked at it. And the Steinbrenner family has been so great.
Are you calling West Point a high school?
No.
Hudson High, that's what they call it.
That is one of the nicknames. But so we trained with the New York Yankees, and, you know, you'd be down there in those, you know, four-leaf clover fields where you'd have the single-A, the high single-A, low single-A, double-A guys, and they're all in pinstripes, no facial hair. These guys, I mean, the Yankee way is they're serious about it. And it was really fascinating to watch how the new – and I'm not a big fan, but I tell you, I've got a lot of respect for the New York Yankees, just how they go about their business. And for years, for I don't know how many years, George Steinbrenner did that for the Army team. It was a competitive edge for us because, you know, we weren't going to be able to get the reps, and we certainly didn't have the budget like the SEC or the Big 12 has. Anyway, that pitch count deal is going to be an important part of this Big 12 series this weekend up in Fort Worth.
Tell me, you make it out to any of the games?
Nah, I was running them up here. Yeah. You know, sometimes when you work them, you don't quite get to.
You were at the basketball game, though, earlier this week with the Jackrabbits, right? Weren't you working
No, he's working it here.
No, I think, I was working that one.
Oh, you're here working too. Here in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's
the fun part.
Ah, so you got to push the buttons and listen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Honestly, you know, working with Craig and stuff like that, it's so much fun. That guy's so cool.
Craig Way.
Craig Way and Craig Flowers. Honestly, it's hard to say which Craig's better. They both have a special place in my heart.
So is Shaka going to stay around?
Absolutely.
Sammy?
Oh, whew. I don't know, man. I don't know that I'm necessarily a Shaka supporter anymore. I don't know.
Shaka's a good man.
Yeah.
He's a good guy.
I like him. I like him for sure, but I don't know if he's what the team needs right now.
Well, he's got some talent waiting for him coming in this year.
Local talent, too,
yeah. Yeah, Will Baker's going to be something special to watch. And how many times right here in Westlake do we have the opportunity to see this? I mean, all the quarterbacks that come out of Westlake, and now you got Will Baker. He had Houston Street, great pitcher, out of Westlake Shaps. And by the way, I don't know if you paid attention this week, the Hayes Rebels and the Westlake Chaparrals, they went into extra innings. I listened to that game on the Shap app, and Aaron Hogan was at the game, invited me to come. High school apps. And they're sponsored, Jamie. It's another world down here in the great
state.
That's crazy. Have you been to the Westlake Chaparral baseball field?
No.
That's another place you got to want to go to. You got to want it because it's tucked in back there. It's way on the backside. You got to slide in through the deal to get there. But it's like, I mean, it's better than Ranger Junior College ballpark. Yeah. I'll tell you that.
I mean,
that was built by Ellis Burks.
I just make it down to the dish because I only live 1 mile from the dish.
And I need to get to the. You do live a mile from the dish, but you've also got access, my friend.
Oh yeah,
to the suite,
Fast Eddie.
And I want to get to Fast Eddie.
If Fast Eddie's there, Fast Eddie. Yeah.
Well, I want to get up there because this is going to be this Big 12 thing is going to be really tight. We're celebrating, by the way. Speaking of the old school baseball guys, this is the 50-year celebration of the 1969 New York Mets.
Wow.
You ever think of that?
No, that didn't even cross my mind, but that's crazy, man.
And one of the catcher for the New York Mets, out of MacArthur High School, wore number 15, Jerry Grody, who lives right here in Central Texas. He and my dad are really good friends. They went to high school together in MacArthur. And Jerry Grody is going to join us sometime this spring, one of these Saturdays coming up, hopefully, and talk about that reunion. It's going to be an interesting reunion because Tom Seaver, if you didn't, you know, read the news about Tom, you know, he's just diagnosed with some dementia, and you know, Tug McGraw is no longer, you know, with us, and you had all these other incredible, you know, Ed Cranepool. A lot of listeners can rattle off the starting lineup, Ron Swoboda. Of that 69 Met team.
New York's interesting. Do you know what West Coast baseball teams used to be in New York?
The Dodgers.
Who else?
Tell me so we both may know.
Giants.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Look at you.
Yeah, throwing some knowledge.
Look at you. Catch.
That's all I got. I'm out.
That's it?
Drop the mic, walk away. Done it. Thank you.
But, you know,
Sammy tapped me out. Thanks.
Even Nolan Ryan talks about that Jerry Grody, in his mind, was the greatest defensive catcher that ever played the game. You know, Bucky may disagree with me because he probably default to Johnny Bench. But I'll tell you what, those guys played at a time when it is a different – that's a different ball game.
Yogi Berra.
Yogi Berra, man. He served in the Navy, Jamie.
Yeah.
Oh man, I didn't realize I had him when I was up at West Point. He had some sort of signing that he was doing nearby, and so some of the guys went up to, and we asked him naively, I mean, just didn't think this thing through, to sign a picture that we had of Yogi Berra. It says, "Go Army, beat Navy," and Yogi said, "Oh, I'm sorry, guys, I
can't do it.
I can't sign that. You know, I can just sign. I can write, you know, go Navy, go Army.
Yeah,
but I served in the Navy." Can't you just hear Yogi saying that? I've never done a Yogi Berra impression, but
he's awesome.
He is awesome.
He was, I mean,
he was the manager in the 1972 New York Mets.
Okay.
And you know who was on that team?
Tell me.
Willie Mays.
Willie Mays. Hey, Willie Mays.
The Say Hey Kid.
That's right.
Because the Mets and the Yankees would drive up every other year and play in an exhibition game against Army baseball team. And Dad was stationed at West Point, and I'm a little kid. I'm like 8 years old. And Jerry Grody's their catcher. And so Jerry stayed with us, and Ed Cranepool stayed with us. And Jerry took me in the locker room for where the Mets were getting dressed for the game. And so I'm sitting there with Jerry Grody, and they had the old wooden foot lockers that had the, you know, they were painted, stenciled on New York Mets. And I sat there as he, you know, all the members came in. The last guy to come in was Willie Mays. And he drove a pink Cadillac.
Hell yeah.
From New York City, 58 miles up the Palisades Parkway to West Point, and parked the pink Cadillac right in front of the locker room. And his license plate, this was such a cool, it was a pink Cadillac, and the license plate said "Say Hey" on it. And he had a phone, Sammy. He had like a regular phone. I don't know how this worked, but he had a regular phone on the console of that pink Cadillac in 1972. But the phone was like a dial phone and a cord.
Like a rotor?
Yeah, a rotary phone in the car in 1972.
Wow.
Now, how the heck was that working?
Real long cord. Real long cord.
And he had pink. He had a, it was a pink Cadillac, but he had white, and I mean snow white, sheepskin seat covers.
Why wouldn't you?
And Yogi Berra was the manager of the 72 Mets. This is crazy, isn't it? And, you know, I'm sitting there with Jerry wide-eyed and going, oh, my gosh, this is the team that I love. The only reason I loved him is because Jerry would have us – we'd stay with the Grodys in New York City when they were playing in town. And, you know, Jerry would sit there with me and show up. His hands were all just jacked up and broken. And, you know, he was a blue-collar catcher who – you know, out of MacArthur High School, who played 1 year at Trinity University, and he's a Texas boy, and he didn't care much for the New York way of life. But boy, did he ever love the game. We'll be back with Sammy from Alabama and Jamie Frazier.
Play it, boys.
You know what this song reminds me of?
Tell me so we both know.
I miss the Big O. I did.
Big O and I had a good conversation this week.
Well, he's a good man.
I mean, he is, and we were talking about, he was trying to find an analogy for keeping your focus when you're lost, whether it's in life or in business or in sports or whatever it is, keeping your focus. And through Horizon Performance, I actually teach a class on this, and about maintaining your compass, your azimuth.
And your pace count.
Yeah, and you're and sometimes when you hear about a moral compass, but sometimes you cannot get from A to B in a direct azimuth, straight direction.
There's a mountain in the way.
So you got to you've got to go around, and briefly, you can lose
your bearing.
Yeah, bearing. You can lose your bearing. You can lose your focus. Anyway, we had a good discussion, the Big O and I did. Speaking of New York baseball players, talking about Jerry Grody. This is a 50-year celebration of the New York 69 Mets winning the World Series. Jerry Grody out of MacArthur High School lives here in Central Texas now, dear friend of our families. But we had, at Ranger, we had a baseball player from New York, and we had just gotten beaten by somebody, probably McLennan, because that's who beat us all the time. And we're sitting around the outfield, and Coach Allen is ripping us for the same, you know, the iconic, you know, Augie Garrido tape that most folks, listeners, have seen. It's very similar ripping that we're getting in the outfield, and we're sitting down in the outfield when this is happening. And one of the players from New York is kind of messing around in the grass with his fingers. He's got his glove off, and he's just kind of playing. He's kind of flicking something around in the grass, and he keeps playing with it. And finally, Coach Allen has had enough of it, you know, and he goes, "Sammy, what the heck are you doing?" And he goes, "Hey, sorry, Coach," with a New York accent, you know, thick New York. "Yo, Coach, you know, I'm sorry. I'm just playing with this worm." And it was a rattlesnake. It's about a 15-inch rattlesnake that he's flicking around. And, I mean, you talk about a 32 baseball players clearing out an area in the outfield real quick. And he had no idea what it was. It was a rattlesnake that hadn't quite grown its rattlers.
Right.
So,
wow,
it is a different culture then. Playing with a worm. "Yo, Coach, check out this worm. Yeah, he's got diamonds on his back. He's cool. Check him out. Yo."
Tony Soprano over here.
Oh my gosh. So our baseball, high school baseball in Central Air is going to be unbelievable this year because you got Lake Travis. And no one really is talking about Lake Travis. They are loaded. And they beat the Shaps once so far this year, but they are loaded. And if you want to go watch Future, if you want to take your children, your sons, your daughters to go watch Future Longhorns that are going to pitch and some of them perhaps in the big leagues, you go watch Lake Travis play baseball this year. And Coach Rogers, man, that guy's doing a heck of a job. Now, I know the Hayes Rebels and the Shaps went after it in extra innings this week, but Lake Travis is loaded. I mean, and they got some boys that can get it up there in a hurry, and they're not afraid to pitch ahead, and they'll challenge you big time. Anyway, so baseball today, you got second, and then third game this weekend with TCU and the Longhorns, and, of course, we're right in the middle of March Madness, and you're not going to believe who I've got winning the whole daggum thing, Iowa State. I've got some upsets along the way, but I've got Iowa State, and I've got LSU in the finals, four, and I can't remember who the other two I've got in there. I think the Zags are in there, but I've got Iowa State pulling this thing out of nowhere.
I got Duke.
Yeah, a lot of people do. That's the choice. I mean, if you look at it, you've got – I saw – what's his name? The guy who goes, "Oh, baby, it's unbelievable." Who's the
– Oh.
What's his name? You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, it's right on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah, anyway, that guy – He's got the four number ones in the final four.
That's what I have.
Yeah. Dickie V.
It's the easiest pick.
Yeah, just go. But that's not going to happen. Some guys are busted already. And I can't wait to see how this thing rolls out. But I've got Iowa State. And, you know, I'm not a big Iowa State fan, but I watched them play a few times, Sammy, this year. And it appears to me that they got a little momentum going on.
Yeah, I mean sorry about that. I'd have to agree with you, honestly. I don't know that I'd have them winning the whole thing, but power to you.
Well, there are going to be some big time. This whole weekend, as BK says, is just unbelievable. And Tom McKay, I heard Trey this week, you know, Bucky talk about Tom McKay. Believe the hype. Those guys get it done. And they took care of our neighbors. Why? Because they heard it on this radio station. Our neighbor called Tom McKay because he listens to this radio station, and they came over and handled business on their outdoor covered and indoor porch. And I mean, they're not sponsors to this show, but Bucky went out of his way this week to talk about Tom McKay. Believe the hype. And just like BK talks about Allstat, Jamie, we had the Allstat folks on last week, and I'm a big fan. Big fan. How many UT games have you gone to this year?
Baseball games?
Yeah.
Two.
Really?
Yeah.
I hadn't gone to a single one yet. It's too cold.
I invited you to one of them.
I know, but yeah. I don't know what I was doing.
I said no. Too cold. ain't cold in that box.
I'm not bringing a blanket to a baseball game.
I was inside watching the outside.
Oh, I got to get to. Yeah. That's right. I always forget that you've got the suite life.
No, I don't. I'm just the byproduct.
How many guys fit up in that suite?
500.
No, it's really? No, really. How many? How many can fit up there?
I mean, it's usually like, I don't know. 8 or 10.
Where is it? Where does it look down on?
It's the farthest one up the first baseline, all the way to the end.
So when I'm standing looking straight down at the field in the suite, what am I looking at?
You're the visitor's dugout.
The visitor's dugout.
Right.
So it's along the third base side.
Third base. I'm sorry. Yeah, to say first base. Yeah.
Yeah. Are the windows open up there? We got
no. No, they're fixed and solid. You could break them, I guess. No, they don't open up. Just you can sit outside if you want. If it's cold.
Poor Chris Del Conte. Some of the stuff that he has to answer on Twitter, just blows me away. And God love him. As a former diplomat in North Africa, where you've got to choose your words carefully and you got to be precise and authentic, and Chris Del Conte, you talk about a guy that, and I've known him. He probably doesn't remember it, but we met back in the early 2000s.
No one can forget Craig Flowers.
I'm sure he did. He was just named the TCU athletics director when
the athletics director.
So he may be sure. Athletic, but okay. He just had his shoulder operated on, so I don't know how athletic he is.
Don't talk about shoulders.
Some of these tweets that the CDC responds to, I mean, he has just really the art of communications is just beautiful. I mean, someone was giving him grief about not being able to throw baseballs around the food trucks, and I mean, I'm not getting it exactly right, but there were some kids who wanted, and I get it. You know, a blanket rule. We've got to, you know, someone responded was, hey, you know, Longhorns can do nuance, which I thought was a great, you know, wiffle balls, for example, would be fine. Everybody loved kids playing wiffle ball. I love playing wiffle ball, but the way he handled it was just beautiful. And he just stays in there fighting with all those things. And I love that Greg Swindell and his wife this week on Twitter, they were talking about things that they were going to do, helping out some kids who really the game is overwhelming, particularly when you got 7,400 people there. It, you know, for someone, a young man or a young person, young girl with autism, it can be overwhelming. And they wanted to create some sort of solution so that kids with autism could come to a game and experience and enjoy, because they want to come, but that can be overwhelming.
Sure.
And boy, I tell you, they're going to, seems like Greg and his wife are, you know, going to get to work on this thing with CDC and come up with a plan. I love that. I mean, you've come up with a solution and sit down and talk about it. And
that's really awesome. I mean, that's kind of reminds me of like, have you seen all the, like Xbox controllers and stuff they're making for people with no arms or disabilities.
I've seen some of the commercials.
Yeah. Yeah, right? It's really cool that they're really putting work into trying to accommodate for those kind of people.
It is very, very cool. If you've got, you know, nowadays, we didn't know. Think about what happened. Well, it happens today in third world countries, but think about what happened even here in the United States just 30 years ago. We didn't have any solutions. I mean, I mean, I can't even imagine having to, you know, deal with autism every single day of your life. It's a real challenge for families, and I just love that in the fact that Chris Del Conte and members of the community are going to find a way and at least discuss and come up with a plan so that we can get more kids out to the 40 acres to enjoy some of this great competition that's occurring just across the street here. Trace Atkins, I mentioned it last week. Trace Atkins and Clint Black are getting together. They're going on the road.
We did match that last week.
That's going to be. I keep seeing that advertised, and they're going to be in Central Texas.
Are they coming to ATX here?
On the 9th of August.
Okay.
And I don't know where they're going to perform yet. I saw it somewhere, but you talk about a great show. I mean, if you're a fan of country music, who didn't have Clint Black's, you know, Killing Time CD? I did. I wore that joker out and tried to do my best imitation of Clint Black, which I will not share with you on the air.
And we thank you for that.
Even though I know, but on the way home, I might share that with you.
Not with me.
Hey, when we come back, it's that time of the show. That's the segment where we choose the Texas wine of the week. And
you're
fortunate because Jamie Frazier is going to break it down into excruciating detail. The Texas wine of the week supporting Texas winemakers, brought to you by Benchmark Business Solutions, unduplicated service. And let me tell you, Benchmark Business Solutions, they are hiring right now, and there is no excuse. If you want to work for a great command, culture, climate, and company that has incredible benefits and great opportunities, Benchmark Business Solutions.
And if you got business, they got solutions.
They do. We'll be back.
The Texas Wine of the Week.
Jamie, you got to take me to the karaoke. Not karaoke.
No,
the reggae.
The reggae festival coming up.
I got to go to that.
Yeah,
I just love this song.
It's a great song.
Loved. It reminds me of Lieutenant days on the beaches down in Alabama.
A little UB40.
Unbelievable. Hey, at the break we were talking about all the Red Bull that you used to drink.
Yeah.
Red Bull and what was the other thing?
Rippets. Downrange. They had the military had their own little Red Bull drink called Rippets. Anybody that's ever served in Iraq, Afghanistan, they'll know what Rippets are.
Really?
Yeah. Not quite as good as Red Bulls. We'd have Red Bulls. They would ship us cases.
Before all that stuff hit the market, I was training with the British SAS. We were doing an escape and evasion course, training exercise. And this one Brit says to me, JC, do you want to Zoom? I said, what? Do you want to Zoom? I'm like, what are you talking about? And he opens up his little packet of
coffee.
Yeah, dehydrated coffee.
Yeah.
And dumps some sugar in it. And he throws the whole pack of dehydrated coffee in his mouth, takes a swig of water, and he's zooming. He's, come zoom with me, JC.
Because cocaine is illegal.
Take a zoom with the Brits. Jamie, it is time for the listeners to hear you break down. Brought to you by Benchmark Business Solutions, the Texas Wine of the Week, supporting Texas wine makers and Texas wines. What do we have? The Texas Wine of the Week, Jamie.
Well, I'm dedicating it to Sammy from Alabama and Miss Yaya from San Antonio. And today's Wine of the Week,
yes.
Today's Wine of the Week is 2017 Lost Draw Cellars Arroyo Blanco. Rich with aromas of honeysuckle and orange blossom, this floral white blend delivers a lean, delicate palate with flavors of tangerine, quenchy grapefruit that lead to a light, crisp finish. Again, Lost Draw Cellars Arroyo Blanco.
There you go. Special Operations Commander and pilot breaking down the Texas Wine of the Week. You'll only hear it here on the Banks at 360.
Thank God.
That was beautiful.
Oh, amazing.
In rehearsal, it was it didn't go as smooth.
No.
But that went really smooth. I got nothing to break that down on. That was really good. Lost Cellars, is that right?
Lost Draw Cellars,
sorry. Yeah. Lost Draw Cellars. They do make great wine. They make a great Tempranillo, too.
Yeah, Tempranillo.
Never say later for a Malbec or a Tempranillo. Although I had a Malbec recently. I have to admit, and I know there's some listeners out there that were with me when I had it. Man, this was a bad Malbec. This was the north end of a southbound camel right there. I'm telling you, it was bad. I didn't finish the Malbec, and I never say later for a Malbec. Horned Frogs and Longhorns hitting it off today. In case you hadn't figured it out yet, we're not live. I'm actually in Abilene this morning, working with David Thomas, Cody Hodges, and Alan Wardis, Thad Fortune, the offensive coordinator for Odessa Permian High School. We're at the Air It Out Quarterback and Receivers Academy.
Do you ever get to throw the rock there?
I do.
Do you?
I do, but you know what? Last month when I was out there in Abilene, I did not pick up a single football. I might have picked one up, but I never threw a single football because it's just not – it's fun to think about, but the moment I get above parallel – to my shoulder, it feels different now. I can't do that without feeling some pain, and I want to be able to throw the buzz bait and the Cinco and the and the drop shot out in East Texas with you. I hope this coming week. Hope we can go out and jerk a big fish out in East Texas because the big mamas are trolling the banks right now. They're coming out of their finicky behavior. And fishing ought to be really good for the rest of the month, rest of the way here.
Spring is here.
Yeah, it's gonna be a great spring. I'm chasing a 15-pound largemouth. My best is 12 and a half, but I know this place where we're gonna go has got some 15s in it. Now that may sound cray cray, but I'm telling you, you better hold on, and you better know how to tie a polymar knot. You better be throwing 14 to 17-pound test with a big lizard of some sort, and just hold on because the water. You'll know to get the net before the fish even picks up the lure because they are that big and that active in this particular body of water, which is about 28 acres or so.
Nice.
So Horned Frogs and the Longhorns getting after it again in game two of a three-game set. March Madness is going cray-cray right now. I've got Iowa State winning it all, and we'll see how that plays out. Bucky has – I forget who Bucky had and Aaron had, but you can all follow along here on hornfm.com to see where you are in your brackets. Jamie, I hope we get an opportunity to spend some time on the lake this week.
Yeah.
And Sammy from Alabama, appreciate you coming in. Wavos will be joining us live next Saturday, just on the heels of the Big Ugly Outdoors.
Hopefully Big O make it in. I miss him.
Yeah, we got to have the Big O back and, of course, start getting your mind right for the Mullet Open because, you know, Bucky works year-round on this joker. And it's just one thing after another, and this thing's going to be here before we know it. And make sure you get on in there because it's going to sell out. You taught us a lot about cleaning out garages and houses, Sam.
If there's one thing I ever wanted to be able to attribute to my name, it was that I clean out garages and houses.
Right. Hey, big announcement. Tiger Woods is going to be at the Dell Match Play.
I know it. And, I tell you what, all the social media is lighting up with all these things, and you just know that the traffic's going to be backed up crazy. Like the Antonelli's cheese diet. Yeah. It's going to be, again, cray-cray. I'm going to have to run down to Fredericksburg again, go back to my favorite place with all the throw pillows. Bring your own cantaloupe. We'll be back next Saturday live on the heels of the Big Ugly Outdoors from the banks of 360. Horned Frogs, Longhorns, getting after it in another Southwest Conference rematch. Jamie Frazier, appreciate you, brother.
Thank you, Sammy. Appreciate
Sammy,
you too,
see girl. You on the high ground.
Always look on the light side of life. If life seems jolly rotten, there's something you forgot, and that's to laugh and smile and dance and sing. When you're feeling in the dumps, don't be silly chumps, just purse your lips and whistle, that's the thing. And always look on the bright side of life. Come on.